Hey, welcome back. This is Joseph here with The Healthy Marriage. And today, in part two of five simple steps to a healthy marriage, we're going to talk about how to resolve conflict effectively. You know, you can't really have a relationship without conflict. And these principles that we're talking about over these 5 days here, we've talked about communication, the value of that, and how important communicating is to actually cause you to bond. And I hope if you haven't watched that or you need a refresher, go back to that lesson and really listen to what to the principles and the truths that are there. And then access the special bonus resource that I offered because it's very important that we learn to communicate. Part of communication impacts and affects when we have conflict. And so that's the message that we want to address today, how to resolve conflict effectively. So the first thing that I want to get out there is there's a few important facts you need to know before we get to the main lessons and the principles about how to resolve and how to approach conflict. So let's get those things off on the table and really talk about them. There are four or five things that I really want you to understand before we get into the guidelines I want to give you. So number one is to know this. Every relationship has conflict. Listen, you can't put two human beings together for any extended period of time, let alone several years, and never have conflict evolve and come up. Conflict simply means that you have desires, you have needs, you have things you even want that are out of alignment. Conflict doesn't imply that you don't love each other anymore. It doesn't imply that you're mad at each other. It just simply means it's this alignment. I recently got a pickup truck, and first couple of weeks I had it, the front end began to really shimmy a lot, and I realized I had a couple of things that needed to be aligned. I needed front end alignment, needed some tires balance and things like that. And what the way I look at it is that shimmy and the shaking that happened in my truck was an indicator that something was out of balance and something was out of alignment. It's the same way in relationships. I look at conflict not as an indicator of the bad things necessarily. Now, it can mean that if there's continual unresolved conflict. But just because something happens and you have a conflict in your marriage, I just simply look at that as an indicator. It simply means that we've got to work on resolving those conflicts and we need to get back into alignment. And we need to make sure we're understanding, and that's where we go back to lesson one and we learn how to communicate, how to really connect on a deeper level through communication. But I want you to understand that about conflict. I've talked to couples before that just seem to be so disheartened. They get married and everything goes fine for the first year or so, and then they have a meltdown and they just feel like it's over. My husband doesn't love me. My wife doesn't care about me anymore. She's not interested in my needs. And that's not the case. Conflict simply means out of balance, out of alignment, and it means we've got some work to do. Now, unfortunately, many couples simply don't know how to handle conflict and resolve it effectively when it does occur. And I'm going to give you some principles and guidelines that will help you do that. Because without those skills, your relationship is going to continue this cycle. Because until we learn to meet each other's needs, and here's the main thing I want you to take away from all of this, is when you focus on your spouse instead of you, and she's doing that, you're going to find things go much smoother in your relationship. Now, the second thing I want you to understand this is resolve conflict is like a cut on your finger that becomes infected. So you get a cut and you know, it kind of burns a little bit and stings a little bit. It's kind of an owie, but you're a big boy, you're a big girl, and so you just don't even think about it and you don't manage that and take care of it. Next thing you know, you wake up in the morning, it's inflamed, it's swollen, it aches, it throbs, every heartbeat you feel that sore. It's because something needs to be done to clear the infection. So even if it starts out small, it can become something very painful and cause a lot of distress. Same way with conflict. Cleaning out the wound is painful at times. it's hard to address unresolved conflict, unmet needs, unfulfilled expectation. It's hard to talk about those things at times, but it's necessary if the wound is ever going to heal. And that's what we'll talk about. Third thing is unresolved conflict is destructive and can destroy your family. If you let it become infected, eventually that infection goes throughout all your body. And not only your finger hurts, but everything in you becomes sick because that infection spreads. Unresolved conflict does the same thing. If you don't deal with it, keep small accounts with one another. If you let it grow, you let it fester, you go to bed mad, you wake up angry, you don't talk about it, you rehearse it in your mind, and you let all of those things begin to fester, pretty soon you're going to have destructive behavior that comes about, and your family, your whole family will suffer. So that's why it's important to deal with those things when they happen. So listen, here's the thing. If you're going to fight, I want to teach you how to fight fair. It's okay to argue. It's okay to disagree. It's even okay to have conflict. It's not okay to fight unfairly. Fighting dirty is like a sucker punch to your partner. It's going to make them even more angry. It's going to make them want to retaliate or withdraw. And so, listen, if you let that thing escalate and then you fight dirty, I'm telling you, some things are going to get out of hand. So it's important to have some ground rules, and we'll talk about those. And you need to stick to it, too. It's not going to be easy at times, but it will make a world of difference in your relationship. So let's remember this. I want you to write this down. Put it on a plaque. write it. Keep it on your desk. Listen, the ground rule is this. You're fighting for your marriage, not because of your marriage. Your marriage is not the problem. An issue is the problem, not your marriage. Keep that in mind. You fight for it, not against it or not in it. And boy, I'm telling you, that thing right there, my wife taught me that. And that's been a lifesaver for us, because we never fight against each other. We fight for our marriage, not because we are married. So keep that in mind. So let's talk about some guidelines to help you. Listen, some of these things are going to be, I've mentioned previously in communication on lesson one, but they're worth repeating. Some of these things you may look at and you may go, you know what, I've heard that before. Take it to heart. Listen, new information is really not what we need. I hope I share some things that maybe are kind of turn the light bulb on, but most of the time, what we need to know is we need to remember some truths and principles so we can put them into place. So you're probably not going to walk away from this going, man, I never heard that before. I hope you will walk away going, man, something clicked in me and I really get it. So let's begin. Here's some guidelines. The very first one, know what you want. You know, this may sound a little odd or a little funny, but you need to know the outcome that you expect. And I'm telling you that because, listen, the reality is some people just like to fight. And if that's you, you need to be honest about it. Don't pretend that you're seeking a solution if you simply want to argue. It's very unfortunate, but I've met argumentative people. Man, they take the opposite perspective. No matter what you say, they're gonna rebuttal. They're going to argue about it. They're going to take issue. And I want to tell you something. If that's you, you need to do an evaluation of your soul and find out why you feel the necessity to always be in opposition, because that's going to hurt your life in the long run. It certainly is not going to play in your favor in your marriage. And the reality is some people are like that. I hope that's not you. But if it is, you need to get some help. You need to find out why you feel like you need to respond that way. Another aspect of this is know what you want. I think it's important that if you truly want to resolve conflict that's interrupting your relationship, do this. Write down your expectation and what you want to see from the discussion you're about to have with your partner. Know going into this and agree on it. Look, this is what I want to happen. I want us to get on the same page. I want us to come to a decision about should we make this decision or that decision. But write it down and have a clear perspective on what you want to happen, what your goal is in this conflict and for this discussion to resolve this. What does resolve look like? A lot of times we try to resolve things and we really don't know what we want. We, you know, a lot, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of guys are this way. I just want the argument to go away. I'll agree with anything. I just want it to go away. I want the noise to stop. And that's very unfair. It's unfair to your partner because they're not really being heard, and that only intensifies the argument and enhances the fuel, puts fuel on it. So know what you want. Be clear about it in that perspective. And if that's where you have to start, to sit down before you argue your points, go, what do we want out of this? What do we really want to see happen? And come to some kind of conclusion there. Having a clear goal in mind keeps you on track, and it serves as a reminder of what the conversation is all about. So you know what it does? It keeps you from then pointing fingers. It keeps you from bringing up the past. And that's one of the things we'll look at. It keeps you on track and focused toward the outcome you desire. Listen, don't underestimate this step. It's probably the most important thing you could do in learning how to manage conflict and how to manage arguments and disagreements in your marriage. So know what you want. Boy, don't underestimate that. Come back to this point over and over if you have to, but understand it and let it sink into your heart. The second one is this. Look, stay calm, always. I was involved not long ago with in a forum conversation, and I can't even remember the details, to be honest with you, but I made the comment. There was an argument, a woman, I think it was a Reddit thread, and she had asked about what does she do with this conflict she has with her spouse, and I simply mentioned, you know, cooler heads always win the day. And I was amazed at the backlash that I got from people who felt like that statement was abdicating their rights or caving in and just yielding without really being heard. And that's not at all what this means. Staying calm just simply means, listen, the coolest head is usually going to come out ahead. When you get into this explosive shouting, yelling, finger pointing, anger takes precedence, I'm telling you, resolve will not come. Yeah, I'm being honest with you. Even if you find agreement, I'm telling you, Ben, there's something that's been eroded just by that. You know, I can say my wife and I never have those kind of conflicts. We just don't argue. We're not arguers. We're not fighters on that level. We never resort to screaming and shouting. We've had discussions and we've had serious disagreements on things, but we both have learned the lesson. And part of that is age, and part of that is we both come from failed marriages, and so we've learned a lot in the past. And we brought to this relationship a real understanding of what it takes to make something happen. And stay calm always is the key. Listen, it's not always going to be easy, but it's one of the most important things you can do when trying to resolve a conflict that's really interrupting your relationship. When your partner's hurtful or they're angry, if you stay calm, you can disarm that. And more likely, they will calm down. But someone has to take the lead in this and keep a cool head. It'll also keep your conversation from escalating, because it takes two to get that heated. So if you just remain calm, it doesn't mean, like I said, you're abdicating your rights. It doesn't mean you're going to be a pushover. It doesn't mean you can be a doormat. If your spouse raises their voice, if you're married to a yeller, just walk away. That may make them mad, but I'm telling you, they're already mad. But staying calm will help you focus and bring peace to the situation. Number three is to really listen. I talked about this in lesson one, but really listen to what your partner is saying, as well as what they're communicating non-verbally. In particular, when they're angry, chances are that they just really want you to hear. I've found that most anger comes because they just feel like they're not being heard. And I'll be honest, my wife has had to remind me at times before, I'm not looking for a solution here. I just need you to listen. And it's hard for me because I'm a fixer. I like to solve problems. And so to learn, but you know what happens? It's not that she doesn't want a solution. It's that I jump to the solution before she's been able to process the emotions of it. And that's unfair to her. And so I really want to practice listening to my spouse. Truly listening is a way of showing, it shows courtesy and it shows respect. You may have been impatient to respond or defensive and reactive, waiting to jump in edgewise rather than just really paying attention. So it's important to pay attention. You know, our partners will communicate more non-verbally than they do verbally, and we miss that a lot of times because we don't listen to what their body is saying. We don't listen to what's behind their words. So practice that. And this leads to this next one: never interrupt or attempt to talk over your partner. This is not, we all should get a chance to be heard, even if you have to set a timer and go, look, I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm going to get this off my chest and I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Don't interrupt me. I won't interrupt you. Whatever you got to do. But it's important not to interrupt because interrupting means you're not doing the third one, really listening. I've said this before, the couples at times, I can't stress it enough. If you want to infuriate or show disrespect, just interrupt because that says what you're saying right now is not important. So let's remember those are one of the ground rules. The next one is this: leave the past alone unless it is the issue. We've all got baggage we bring into relationships, and it's important to deal with those. I wrote an entire series on dealing with, I think it's three articles on how to deal with past baggage and how to let that stuff go and not let it affect your relationship. And you can go to the website and type in, you know, past baggage, and it should bring you to those articles. But listen, leave the past alone. And that means that when you're discussing something, when you're arguing or having conflict, don't use that as a jumping off point to bring up every past failure, everything they've done in the past. I've seen couples even go back to when they were dating, and you did, when we were dating, you did this, you said this, and I wanted to interrupt and go, well, if it was so offensive when they're dating, why did you marry them? So leave the past alone. Don't let it become the issue. If you've got to deal with past junk, deal with it. Get help dealing with it. But don't let past stuff become the issue that you're trying to resolve when that's really not the issue. Don't dredge up past hurts and wounds. Let it be. Again, if it's not productive, if it is the issue, then deal with it. And the next thing is, you know, I'm a big believer in this. Work out your conflict in private. Man, there's nothing quite so embarrassing and uncomfortable as being at a dinner party or something and have a couple go at it. We have a relationship with some friends, and they're kind of distant friends, but it's almost like every time we're together, some kind of conflict comes up and they begin to bicker at one another. And it's very uncomfortable. It makes you not want to participate in and further the relationship. So one of the ground rules is conflict resolution happens in private. Don't bring that to your family. A couple of points to go with this. Set a time and say we're going to get away for the weekend to deal with this, or we're going to take a night, we're going to get a babysitter, whatever you got to do, and we're going to deal with this. So set a time for that. The other thing is don't bring that stuff to family. You know, you may go and vent, you know, my spouse did this and complain and all of that. And you may go home and kiss and make up and everything's fine. Let me tell you, family doesn't forget and forgive quite as quickly as you do. I've seen more marriages struggle and fall apart because neither party knew how to keep the conflict private. They went to friends, they went to family members, and it destroyed, it soured the relationship, and people began to, you only look, kind of look stupid yourself because people go, well, if it's so bad, why do you stay in it? So keep your conflicts private. I hope that's not too blunt and direct, but keep your conflicts private. Avoid childish fighting. Listen, name calling, bullying, pulling in friends to take your side, these are all grade school playground tactics. That just don't do that. It goes back to the previous point, keep your conflict private. The another one is take ownership. Listen, this is a guideline. Own your stuff. Don't expect your spouse to fix you. Don't expect them to be the blame for your stuff. Take ownership. If you said something you shouldn't have said, own it. If you did something you shouldn't have done, if you didn't keep your word, if you broke a promise, own it. Take ownership. Listen, just the sincerity and genuineness and authenticity of taking ownership can go a long way to heal problems in your relationship. Blaming everything on your partner will get you nowhere. Own your stuff. Avoid taking hard stances. Boy, this is important because a lot of times we're so passionate because we don't argue unless we're passionate about it or shouldn't. But a lot of times that passion we feel for that causes us to draw lines in the sand that shouldn't be drawn. Being right is not the only thing. I believe in ethics, morality, and when it comes to those issues, we draw hard lines on what's ethical and what's moral. A lot of times we spill those things over into areas that they don't belong. If you feel your spouse said something and they go, that's not really what I said, don't draw a hard stance and don't let that be the line of demarcation in your relationship. Years back, I was in a part of a board of a nonprofit, and a situation occurred between two of the board members, and I was called on to mediate to have because I had a counseling background, and I mediated that. And I found out real quick that one of the members was drawing a hard stance on something. And it was interesting that the other board member had apologized privately, and then apologized in a public setting among the group, the board members, and said, boy, if I said that, I didn't mean to say that. And this guy wouldn't let it go. But you did say it. You did say it. And we finally, unfortunately, had to dismiss the guy that just wouldn't let it go. The first guy may have been wrong, but he took ownership. But the other guy taking a hard stance really brought a faction to the group that couldn't recover. So don't take hard stances. Always try to find the truth. The truth in a big picture, but also always try to find a grain of truth in what your spouse is trying to convey. They're most likely not totally to blame, to be honest with you. And probably they have some valid points. Listen for those and acknowledge those, and you'll find that you come to resolution quicker. Never use words like always and never. You never pay attention to me. You always do this or do that. Avoid those things because it's just not true and it weakens your position. So avoid using those things. Discuss the ground rules with your spouse ahead of time. I kind of refer back to this as we started off. Know where you're going and what you want to accomplish ahead of time and discuss some of these ground rules and get it clear so that you don't get off track. Remember, you're for each other, not against each other. So discuss those ground rules ahead of time. Now, remember, again, you are fighting for your marriage, not because of your marriage. You're fighting for it, not against it, and not in it. And it's important to remember that. So I hope this helps you establish some boundaries and some guidelines. And sometimes conflict needs extra help. And because of that, I want to make you aware of a special bonus offer. Dennis Waitley is actually one of the leading success coaches and inspirational speakers of all time, in my opinion. He has an incredible way of distilling difficult concepts into practical, applicable tools that you can use to create a life, the life of your dreams. And he's got a program that's based on a best-selling seminar he did called How to Handle Conflict and Manage Anger. And it's an excellent program. And it's one I've recommended to couples before that need that boost, need help in learning some more things about how to resolve conflict, because conflict seems to get out of hand. Here's some things that you'll learn in the program: the five myths about anger and conflict, and what the truth really is. He covers four steps that will help you keep cool, calm, and control. Remember, that's one of the guidelines, one of the principles. Five conflict escalating words that should be avoided at all costs. Man, this is priceless. It's worth the price of admission for that, to learn to avoid the things that are just like gasoline to fire. Five styles of conflict management. Understanding this, man, can be a lifesaver. I'm telling you. 10 conflict resolution skills that every person in business and in any kind of personal relationship should know. There's 6 tips on handling harassment and hardball tactics. Now, this was written for the workplace, but man, I'm telling you, I found so much truth in that, in learning how to deal with kids, learning how to deal with, because I help couples, so learning how to recognize those conflict management styles and those who resort to harassment and hardball tactics, and what you can do to diffuse that and disarm that. And then 7 negotiating styles. Man, there's so much good there. So listen, just click the link below to find out more about how to handle conflict and manage your anger. I've also got a couple of articles on the website that deal with anger and not letting anger control you. You can just go to the site and in the search bar, just put in anger and it'll bring those up. But listen, I hope this helps you, because you will experience conflict. That doesn't mean, I go back to the beginning, it doesn't mean your marriage is over. It doesn't mean you've fallen out of love. It doesn't mean that you're about to shipwreck. It just simply means you're human. But if you know these guidelines and you put these into place, man, you'll work through those things as smooth as possible. And you'll find conflicts resolve much quicker because you've got these things as principles in your life and a belief system. If you avoid them, if you fail to put them into place, man, you're going to repeat that cycle, and then it just gets worse with every repetition. It's like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger. So I encourage you to go back over this lesson. We've got a downloadable you can print out to kind of study these things. But I hope this helps. Tomorrow in the third lesson, we're going to deal with the issue of intimacy and sex. So I hope you'll be looking for that, because some great principles that will help you kind of get a handle on that and come to some understanding about your intimacy in your marriage. So until then, God bless and have a great day.